the scripture now, John chapter 16, John chapter 16 in the New Testament, and let's make our confession about that. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 16, verse 5. John chapter 16, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking to his followers just before he's taken there in the garden where he was betrayed and arrested and went through all that terrible night and the cross on the next day. But verse 5 says, "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Let's think about that just a moment. Sorrow, Jesus said he was going to be leaving his followers, and they were sorrowful, understandably. Have any of you ever had a loved one, someone very close to you, or maybe a close family member move away? They had to leave for some situation. Any of you have ever experienced something like that? Would you? Okay, a number of us. Were you saddened to see them go? So you can relate to them a little bit. But just think about this, because even though we have loved ones who may move away, we don't look to them as the Messiah. They had come to believe that he really was the prophesied Messiah. And in all of the situations they have been in, think about, you know, they're out in the boat at night and a storm comes up and he just wakes up and calms the storm. They need something to eat. He just takes loaves and fish and multiplies them. He heals, sick bodies, raises the dead. They need tax money. He tells them, go fishing. He says, go throw a hook in the water. And he provided the tax money through a miracle that way. So they were certainly upset. They were, it says, they were sorrowful. But then he says this in this next verse, verse 7. But he says, nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, see, we have the benefit of 20/20 hindsight, don't we? Do you think at that second they were agreeing with him? They understood, or they felt like, oh, Jesus, you're leaving. That's good. I don't know. I don't want to put myself, I don't know what they were feeling. But in my humanity, I can imagine, Lord, no, I think I'd rather have you stay right here with me. I don't want you to go away. I've received your love and your goodness and grace and mercy. I'm okay with you staying. But Jesus said, it's to your advantage if I go away. Let me read a few verses to you, if you want to stay there in John, from the book of Matthew. The last verses, these are the closing words of Jesus before he returned to heaven. Now, this is just a little bit later, and the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came to them and spoke to them. This is after he defeated death, and he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore," or even as translated, "as you go, make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo." That word is typically and far more translated as behold. It means look. It's actually used like if you were reading or telling a Hebrew story, like a narrative, you would put this word in to enliven it. So he's saying, I want you to go and disciple people, baptize them, teach them what I've taught you, and then behold, look, think about this. And then notice what he says in these words right after that. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. That's the message I wanted to center in on this morning. It's a powerful truth. Jesus says, behold, think about this. We can believe this truth. We can receive and embrace this truth. I am with you always. Now, we can say it with good intentions. We can say, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to pray for you. And that can be true. And certainly that's a good thing. But you know and I know that no one can say, I am with you always in the way our Lord speaks these words to us. I am with you always. So after Jesus came to life from the dead, in fact, let me go back. If you're still there in John 16, let me read that, finish that verse. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So after Jesus returned to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit in his place. And now we have one just like Jesus, but he's not limited to one spot there in the Middle East. He's not just limited to his physical body. I am with you always. In fact, if you want to write this verse down, Galatians 4, 6 says it like this. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. So after Jesus returned to heaven, he sent his Spirit, and now the Lord is with us by his Holy Spirit. So we can say, I am with you always because God's Spirit is within us, at least if we know the Lord. Now in John chapter 14, if you turn back there, John chapter 14, before I want to just focus on maybe two truths this morning that apply or how we can apply them to our lives. I am with you always. But I've been thinking this week about all the times and experiences and occasions in our life where these words can be so comforting and these words can be just strengthening and powerful to us, hearing the Lord say to us, I am with you always. So when I'm hurting, I am with you always. When I'm discouraged, I'm with you always. When I'm happy, I'm with you always. When I'm angry, I'm so mad right now, I am with you always. When I'm tempted to sin and do wrong, I am with you always. What a powerful truth. You know, I see the Lord so different now. When I was years ago, my mentality and perspective of the Lord was when I'm tempted to do wrong, it was almost like I didn't want God around because I figured he was just waiting on me to mess up so he could kind of, you know, let me have it. But I've come to understand now that's not the heart of a father. It's not the heart of God as a father. And now he's with us and he wants us to know because when we're tempted right in that moment, and whatever it may be, whatever the temptation may be, right in that moment, he wants us to be assured and to rest in, I am with you always. I'm right here. I know you need a helper, so I'm right here. I know you need a comforter. I'm right here. I know you need a strengthener. I'm right here with you. I'm not condemning you. I'm here to strengthen you and to empower you. I'm here because I'm with you always. So now I look at it as a blessing, not condemnation, like, thank God. Thank God he's with me. I am with you always. I don't know if any of you have ever had the pleasure of having an MRI. Anyone? Oh, wow. What's wrong with y'all? No, I think I've had three. I've got a lost count. You know, the first time I went, I herniated a couple discs in my lower back, one on each side, and I went to an orthopedic doctor, and he asked me, he said, I didn't know what the condition was at the time. He said, have you ever had an MRI? I said, no, I'd heard of them. He said, it's no big deal. So I just blew it off, and it wasn't really an issue. But the second one I had some years later, I was having some dizziness issues going, and it couldn't seem. I went to specialists up in Richmond, and ran all these tests, ear, nose, and throat. They couldn't seem to find out what was going on. And of course, I'm human. I still have my emotions, and I wake up sometime at night, during the night, and troubled because, you know, wondering what it was. And sometimes when we don't know, it's been my experience, we tend to fill it in with something negative. And so I remember I won't mention the facility, but I went to that, you know, the location that day. Of course, you're in there by yourself. And if you've never been in an MRI machine, it has the feeling of you're in a closed tube like this, about this far away, you know, like you're encircled in it. And maybe because I knew they were, you know, scanning my brain at this time and not knowing what they would find, maybe I was a little more nervous. And I remember, and it's loud. They give you earplugs, but it's just loud for 25, however many minutes, just banging sound. Man, I was in there trying to focus on the Lord, and I did this. I was so dry, I just licked my lips. And they have these little guides, almost like headrests or whatever, to kind of keep you stationary because you're not to move in there. And I hear this voice come over the cell, like the intercom inside the MRI, and it said, "You're going to have to stay still. Now I've got to start over." Oh, thanks. That's just what I was wanting to hear. Let's do it all over again. So anyway, I went through that. Thankfully, the Lord brought me through it, and you know, He healed me. That's all I can say. I don't know what happened. I have no human explanation. And then again, I had a third one. I was in a different facility. And you know how sometimes, like nowadays, like even the ceilings in a lot of the medical rooms, they have these pretty cloud scenes and stuff like that? Well, this, you know, had that. But I went into the room where they had the MRI machine. No one ever told me this before when I had the first two. But the lady said, "When you get in there, look over your head." So I said, "Okay." And so if you just see me, you're laying down, your body's completely, you're lying down like this, and again, you feel like you're like this, and it starts to slide you up into that tube, and I looked up, like over my head, and I saw, well, this thing isn't closed in, it's completely open, and I had complete peace. It was just like, nothing had changed other than my perspective. And I realized, oh, this is fine. I just got this right here, but I got everything else open, and the room is so pretty. But it just helped me in that moment, and I was kind of relating it to this. I am with you always. I'm telling you, I was in there focusing on the Lord. I was thinking, I was trying to quote Scripture and doing all of those things, and I did have a peace. Of course, in that third time, it was different. I wonder how many times in life we feel like we're so trapped in, and we feel like there's no one around, and I can't get out of this thing, and maybe we just need to remember kind of spiritually, I am with you always, and we look up and we say, oh, I'm not so closed in after all. I'm in Christ, and He is with me, and it's all right. We might be in the storm, but I got the storm calmer with me. I am with you always. So can we just focus on these two truths here this morning, if you want to write them down? John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." Another helper means just like Jesus. It's just like if Jesus was with us. But brothers and sisters, since that time in Acts chapter 2 on that day of Pentecost, since that moment, the Lord has been with every believer everywhere at the same time. And today is that very day, the day of Pentecost, and we remember that God poured out His Spirit and He filled His people and united us as one. And He's with us, not just for a mission to come upon us and live. He's with us always. So He goes on, Jesus says in that same verse, in verse that He may abide with you forever, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. I want to pause right there just a second. Two truths. We can be indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. We can be indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And even with Jesus starting off in that verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And He said, I'm going to send you a helper. Maybe we can even admit it this morning, that even though we love the Lord and we want to do what's right, don't we need help? I mean, we need help even loving Him like we ought to and obeying His commandments. But He's given us a helper. He wants us to receive that truth today. I am with you always. So He gave us that helper, the comforter. It means one to strengthen. But then He goes on. I wanted to just pause there to emphasize that because of what He's getting ready to say next. Again, this is John 14:17. It says, the Spirit of truth, he's who will be with you, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. Notice again, I will come to you. Jesus is saying, I will be with you always by the presence of my Holy Spirit. Now, when it says here that the Holy Spirit, he says he's with you and he's going to be in you. He's with every person on the face of the earth right now. He's not far from us. In fact, we couldn't even come to know the Lord if it wasn't for God's Spirit drawing us. But when we do receive the Lord, then he's in us and we can be indwelt by God's Spirit. Now, Jesus said the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Here's the issue. The world, as long as the world refers to unbelievers, as long as anyone remains in unbelief and doesn't know God, of course we're not going to receive the Spirit of truth. But everyone can receive the Spirit of truth if we would simply come to that place of believing him and receiving Jesus as Lord. Thank God. Then when we do, we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. Let me read this to you from John chapter 16 once again. John chapter 16 and verse 8. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He's the one we're focusing on here this morning. John chapter 16, verse 8. It says when, after he talks about the being to your advantage, that I go away, I'm going to send the helper. And when he, the helper, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Thank God. Let me first of all say the problem. The problem is that we have all sinned. We've all broken God's commandments. Somewhere along the line, we've all fallen short. And our sin, separates us from a holy God. And outside of the infinite mercy of God, we would have no hope because we can't get to God on our own. We would be separated from him, not only in life, but forever. Think about this. There are so many people on earth today living, but they're spiritually dead because they're separated from God. They're not in fellowship with him. But thank God for his goodness that he loved us so much that God provided a way, because he's a just judge and a holy God, he provided a way to punish the sin, our sin, I'll say it that way, to judge our sin and still forgive us as sinners. Thank God. So when Jesus was on the cross, when he suffered and died, he was experiencing the judgment that I deserved. He bore the punishment for my sin so that since the sentence has been executed, now God says, okay, I've already punished the sin. Now, conviction means that God is drawing us to believe. Remember what Jesus said, to believe because they don't believe in me. So the conviction is unbelief of, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that Jesus is Lord, but now God's Spirit is drawing me and I believe what God said and I now receive Jesus as the Lord of my life. Then we are forgiven of all sin. We are made righteous in the eyes of a holy God. Jesus took our sin at the cross, and when we receive him, we get the benefit of all the goodness and righteousness of God. God becomes our Father, and then his Holy Spirit enters us. He indwells us, and then we can hear the words, I am with you always. So we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and then we begin new life. We have unending life. Yes, this body will stop working one day, but we get to live forever. The real person gets to be with the Lord. So we can be indwelt, and then second, we can be empowered. So I am with you always. We can be indwelt by God's Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus as Lord, but then we can also be empowered. And I want to ask you to turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll give you one scripture before I read the closing scriptures there in Ephesians. Just like we believe God to be indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, we believe God to be empowered by his Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power, not earn it, not deserve it, not measure up to a certain point, but you shall receive power. Ability is what that word means. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, or as it's also translated, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. Those who are our very lives give testimony to the fact that Jesus really is real in our lives and that he is Lord. So he says you will receive power. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, he's praying, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Some translations say that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. You know that little chorus we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord? That's based on this scripture. Being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who do what? You can say it. Who do what? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. We have access to resurrection power. Jesus said it's the ability, the power, and the authority. That's what it means when he's seated above every other name. So just like we believe God to be saved, we believe God in those moments to help us walk in victory. Now, we all fall short at times. I know that. It's something we grow in. We grow in our walk, and we grow in our relationship with the Lord. But God grants, he wants us to walk in his power in order to do his will. Remember what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'm going to send you a helper. So we need help. The power is to do God's will so that we can love him and keep his commandments, so that we can make disciples, so that we can do what God has called us to do. Thank God for those experiences with his Spirit, and we have emotions. And for some, you know, it's like we're happy and we're jumping up and down, we're worshiping. Thank God that times we're maybe bowing and we're crying. All of those are legitimate expressions of God's Spirit, but the real purpose is so that we move on from that experience to do God's will. I am with you always. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Ephesians chapter 5, would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 5. And the scripture says this, beginning in verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That means it just lifts away. But be filled. It's actually worded, be continually filled. Continually filled. Keep on being filled is how it's worded in one translation. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship and thanksgiving help us maintain a spirit-filled lifestyle. It's so important. I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me into this truth, and I thank God for his word. But the word tells us how to maintain a spirit-filled lifestyle, and the word points us to worship and praise. There's another scripture that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God's word is not in competition with his Spirit. We need both. And thank God we have both. We have the word of God, and we have the Spirit of God to help us do his will. But worship and praise, brothers and sisters, it's not just a formality that we do when we have religious services. It's part of how we maintain a strong connection to God. And it's part of how it just keeps us in that place of surrender and submitting our wills to him, because spirit-filled really means spirit-controlled. And spirit-control means, I say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Here's the control. Here is the control of my life. Here is the control of my situation. Here is the control of my will. Let's be honest. Some of us just like being the one in control because we feel like we can work things out. Sometimes we're just reminded, I'm not in control. And it's okay. You know what I've discovered again? If we really knew the heart of God, if we really knew his love for us, it makes it a lot easier to submit to Him and trust Him with the control, because we know His heart and we know His goodness. So the key is get to know Him. He's your Father if you're born of His Spirit. If you don't know Him, you can. And you can start new life today, but get close to Him. Get to know Him. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Love Him. Receive His love for you. And it'll be easier to, in those moments when our will is battling, to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust You with this. Thank You that You're with me always. To be filled with His Spirit. And He goes on. I won't take the time to read every verse, but this is practical living right here. He says, we need to be Spirit-filled. Then He goes right into our relationships. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as the Lord loves the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, don't provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He goes right into spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Thank God we have His Spirit in us. Don't we need His Spirit and His power to help us live it out every day? I mean, right? We need it in our families. We need it on the job. We need it in school. We need it in our battles. Thank God. Yes, Lord, I am with You always. Thank God. Can you receive that truth today? Jesus, the risen Lord, saying, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. To receive by faith. How many of you are familiar with what Peter did on the night Jesus was betrayed? Any of you, would you raise your hands? Somebody tell me real quick. Just he denied Him three times. So in Acts, or rather in the Gospels, we read that Peter denied even knowing the Lord three times. And when he told the Lord earlier, he said, these other guys may desert you, they may deny you and leave you, but not me, Lord, I'm here with you. I really believe he had good intentions. He meant it. And Jesus didn't condemn him over it. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when you've returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters. And so the Lord knew. And so what's the difference, though, 2 months later when Peter is arrested because they had healed a man in the name of Jesus? And when they were brought before the authorities, they asked Peter and John, but Peter stood up and said, if you want to know how this man, what power made him well or what power made him whole, let it be known to you and to everyone, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands before you whole today. And there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. What in the world happened to Peter? Acts chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. You say, but Brother Rocky, he was in the group in Acts chapter 2, and they were filled in Acts chapter 2. That's right, because one filling is not enough. Why? We leak. Some of you will get that revelation. We have to be continually filled with God's Spirit because we are continually in need. But thank God we can be. I am with you always. Before we observe communion this morning, I'll just ask you to search your heart between you and the Lord. Would you ask, just again, maybe some of you are facing a situation right now. And you really need that comfort. Maybe you need the strength, the power, the grace of the words to you. I am with you always. I am with you always. Whatever you're facing right now, I just ask you, would you just close your eyes and just focus on the Lord and just ask yourself this question, please. I'm not asking for an answer. I'm not going to raise your hands between you and the Lord, but would you just ask Him, Lord, do I really believe that you are with me and that you will empower me to do your will in this situation, whatever it is? And if I ask that question just to observe and to be aware, not to condemn, because if you feel like, well, I don't know, would you just do it right now? Let's believe the Lord. Let's receive this truth. That's the key. Believe. If you believe Him and receive it right now, it can be personal for you. We won't always feel the presence of God. We're going to face fear. We might as well just realize that. But it's okay. We have grace to overcome the fear even while we're feeling it. Some things we just maybe need to do afraid. It's okay. The fear will lose its grip when we move forward in obedience. But would you just see that truth today? The Lord says to you, I am with you always. Yes, you're in that situation and you feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. The Lord is with you. You're not sure which way to turn and you want to make a right decision. The Lord says, I am with you. You've been down. Maybe you've been tempted. You've fallen. The Lord says, I'm with you. I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, Father, may you impart that truth by your Spirit to our hearts today. Help us to receive it. Help us to be strengthened by it. And help us to live in it to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.